Welcome to Longevity. I'm your host, Natalie Nittam. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology and ancestral health practices to personalized interventions and a very special interest of mine, peptides and bioregulators. Enjoy the show. Hey folks, welcome back to the show. We have an amazing episode today, kind of building on the solo episode I did a little while ago on the gallbladder and detoxification. This episode is going to be a deep dive into much deeper topics around detox with a true expert, Dr. Christopher Shade. Now, before we jump in there, I want to welcome all the new followers to this podcast. We've really, really grown over the last couple of months. We've actually surpassed the million downloads mark, which is super exciting. So I want to thank all of you, both the new listeners and the listeners who've been with me for the last over 250 episodes. It is thanks to you folks that I'm able to do what I love every single day. So thank you for that. Thank you for being here. And if you're feeling inspired by this episode, you know what to do. Make sure that you share it with your friends, your network, and anybody else that you think would get value from it. Make sure that you leave us a review on whatever platform you're checking us out on. And for more kind of tidbits of information and to follow me and all the different things that I'm into these days, make sure to go to Instagram and follow at Natalie Nittam, because that's where I share loads of stuff every week, including every Friday, I'll release my 5 biohacks that I'm loving right now. Okay, now let's jump into thanking our sponsors for this episode. As a listener of this podcast, you may already know that your body has its own built-in repair systems. And one of these are stem cells, nature's tiny repair kits, working tirelessly to keep your body running smoothly. The trick is getting them released when you need them most. And now, with an herbal formula called Stem Regen, you can support and enhance the power of your own stem cells and kind of call them up when you need them the most. Stem Regen is a proprietary blend of natural ingredients, scientifically documented to support stem cell release and migration. By stimulating the release of stem cells from your very own bone marrow, Stem Regen helps more of these powerful cells reach various tissues and organs, transforming them into the specific cells needed for repair and rejuvenation. Now, not only does Stem Regen contribute to tissue repair and optimal health maintenance, but it also boasts incredible anti-aging effects. Imagine that with every 2 capsules, your bone marrow releases 10 million of your own stem cells. That's mind-blowing. So, as a trusted user myself of Stem Regen, I can confidently say that this is one of my favorite longevity tools. I've got my parents on it. I've got my clients on it. It is an incredible, incredible formula. Now, if you want to try Stem Regen for yourself, all you have to do is go to stemregen.co and make sure to use code NAT15 for a special discount. All right. Now let's talk about our episode. Have you ever wondered if your detox routine is actually supporting your longevity goals? In today's episode of the Longevity Podcast, Dr. Christopher Shade from Quiksilver Scientific shares a crucial insight. Toxins don't just make you feel bad, they actually accelerate the aging process. So learning how to support our body in clearing those toxins is critical if we want to live a long, healthy, and vital life. We discuss the importance of detoxification for longevity, as well as overall well-being. We emphasize the need to open those doors of detoxification before initiating any detox protocol, and on and on. We do a deep, deep dive into this topic. So, Dr. Christopher Shade, if you haven't heard of him before, is the founder and CEO of Quiksilver Scientific. He's a great guy. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years, and it never ceases to amaze me that I learned something fascinating and new every time I bump into him. So he is truly an industry thought leader. He's a true expert in his field. He's got vast knowledge, coupled with an intuitive understanding of chemistry and biology. He's got a passion for wellness, and which is really reflected in the innovative supplement delivery systems that are featured in Quiksilver Scientific, their detoxification protocols, mercury speciation, and even heavy metal tests. To learn more about Quiksilver and even to maybe get your hands on some of these, on some of the products and protocols that we talk about in this episode, you can go to quicksilverscientific.com/NAT. And then you can use code NAT for 10% off your first purchase. And now let's jump into the episode.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider.
Welcome back to the show, Dr. Chris Shade. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hello, Natalie. Happy to be here.
Yep. Well, this is kind of our official take two. Our first attempt was when I had the flu, which didn't work out so well. So here we are for second attempt, sans flu. And I'm so excited because I feel so much better.
You look vastly better. I mean, you're...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure you were being very polite that day. Anyway, be that as it may, we are going to explore the universe of detoxification and liposomes and a bunch of other questions I have for you. And, you know, since I renamed the podcast and rebranded it as Longevity with Natalie Nittam, I'm like, wow, this is really cool because it's so much easier to say to people, I want to talk about this in the context of longevity versus I want to talk about this in the context of biohacking superhuman performance, which takes about, I don't know, 20 minutes to say, right?
So. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and they all said, you know, how many words can we stack along the way? Optimizing the biohacking superhuman performance experience of wellness.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, what are we after? We want to live a long life and we want to feel good at it. And the day that we check out, it should happen in a flash and off we go. Like that's the goal. Let's just state it, live as long and as well as we can. And what do we need to do? You know, and I think the reason why I think detoxing is so important is people, we're always looking for what do I need to take? What do I need to add? What do I need to do?
Not what do I need to take away?
Yes. How do I clear the way for my body to actually be a partner in this journey and do what it can do better than anybody else can do it?
It's absolutely it. And I mean, we missed that for so long. When I first got into like the longevity world, and I'm going to A4M, and I just saw myself as kind of a peripheral player. You know, I'm the guy who takes out the garbage and, you know, here, I'll help you with mercury detox and that detox. And it's like, for the people who are just, they're screwed up because they have so much toxin, but it's really for everybody. And as time went on, all the research went on, we see that all these, you know, pathways for longevity are just intimately tied with the detoxification pathways. And the main ones, you got NRF2, AMPK, and sirtuins, and they're all working together. And now we talked about senescence and senolytics and unfolded protein response and all these fancy things. They're all just cleaning up either environmental trash and taking it away because it's driving an acceleration of your aging, or biologic trash through autophagy, cleaning up all the junk you accumulate. You're making stuff all the time and you got junk, you got trash in, and it's making you die faster. Take the trash out. Everything's clean.
Yeah. Everything works better. I mean, you gunk up the engine, right? Even with mitochondria, I know, like, you know, in the peptide world, people are like, oh, you know, I want to use MOTC. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, MOTC is going to jack up your mitochondria. Well, here's that, which is great if they're clean and they're not all gunked up with stuff, right? If you have a lot of dysfunctional mitochondria and they're all filled with reactive oxygen species and whatever other crap gets in there, you're basically trying to run an engine really hard that's kind of dirty. And that generally doesn't end well.
Yeah, then you're going to get more, you know, as you speed it up, you're going to have more mitochondria dying or becoming dysfunctional. You might actually drive the system into senescence. And, you know, so you can make things worse. In fact, the only thing that's really a detox peptide is FOXO4.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the, and that one you have to use it with a light hand.
Because you're stimulating autophagy there. And so you're breaking everything down. And that's what you're supposed to be doing during detox. And so, you know, we want to really start mixing FOXO4 along with our, you know, month or 2 month long detox systems. I think that's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely amp it up. But I don't know that you even, I mean, the FOXO4 is a nice to have. Hard to get your hands on the good stuff. It's expensive and you got to know what you're doing. Where I think that you can, there's other strategies you can use that are going to be, I would say probably just as effective, and you don't risk tipping yourself over that edge of going too far.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a manhandle switch right there. Boom. And people usually don't have any of the rest of the things they need on board to deal with that. As you break down all these old cells and breaking down old fat cells, you're putting all the fat soluble toxins in. You know, it's better that you set up a whole detox system that's made to do all that drainage. And as we talk about detox, we're going to see that a lot of these things are AMPK activators. That's what's activating autophagy. So autophagy and detox should go hand in hand. But if you just turn on autophagy and you don't have your drainage pathways up, and you don't have kidneys, you don't have liver, you're not moving lymph, you don't have enough resources for all of these things that are gonna get upregulated, you're just going to make things worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I remember in school, like one of the first things they taught us is before you initiate any kind of a detox protocol, you need to make sure that the doors of detoxification are open,
yeah.
Or else, right? Or else you're freeing up toxins in the system, and they are just going to look for a new home.
Yeah, and that's, you know, they call it retoxification. Detoxification is retoxification. So, you know, if we look at the path from a tissue into the blood, then into the drainage pathways, the drainage pathways being into the liver and through the bile to the GI, drainage pathways being through the kidneys into the urinary stream, and the lymph moving, and the lymph is all connected into the GI. So if everything doesn't come down, you know, through the liver into the GI and move all the way through and out, then you're not going to get all these toxins out. You know, but we really took a lot of time to make sure that our systems focus as much or more on drainage than on kicking things out of the tissues. Then we really started having successful detoxification where we could really go in and push the levers really quick. You know, what some people would take 12 months to do, you know, we could do in 2 to 3 months, no problem.
That's amazing. And also, there's also those other pathways, the breath and the sweat, which I think sometimes people, you know, like sweat can get rid of, there's a couple of heavy metals that are actually really efficiently pushed out through sweat, right? I think
there's a couple of studies that look at sweat and has a similar metal profile to urine. And so it's obviously one more way to get things out. When we look at saunas, there's definitely what they do for detoxification, but there's also the other things that they do with heat shock protein upregulation and its mm-hmm. ability to regulate the whole system. And, you know, when we talk about our detox, we do this push catch. So you take all these liquids, start mobilizing all the toxins, open up the liver and move all that stuff through there. And then you pick up the binders to get everything bound in the GI. And what are you going to do in between? You know, and then I like to put a sauna in there, push, sauna, catch, because it's a half hour in between. And when you add those things in, it really works so well. And, it, you know, with the breath, it's like I'm in there in the sauna. And, you know, I'll be gone for, you know, 5-10 minutes. I'll be like, let's open the doors, vent this garbage that's all coming at me and close it back up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nice. Okay. So all of these different pathways for detoxification, let's talk about how, like, well, actually, I know what I wanted to go to next. Herx reactions or Herxheimer reactions, or this is when people do a detox and they actually feel worse before they feel better. And, you know, let's talk about when that's okay and when that's really a sign to kind of slow down, like just you're not ready. You're releasing too much at once.
Or it's a sign that you haven't set up well. Detox.
Huh?
Or it's a sign you haven't set up the detox right.
Right. Or you're retoxing or yeah. Whatever the case may be.
Well, how about we just like, let's, you know, pull back a little bit, lay out like these are the steps. Well, this is biologically okay. What happened, biochemically what happens. Yeah. And so, you know, if we're up in the tissues and we need the cells and the tissues to release the toxins, you know, the cells inside the cell, a toxin is in there and you're going to use your enzymatic machinery to get it ready. There's what's called phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. So phase 1, you got this toxin up there, it's kind of stuck in your cell. Phase 1 is going to get it ready for a reaction in phase two where you clip on one of your molecules to it, and that'll be glutathione, glucuronic acid, or sulfate. After you do that, you have this water-soluble toxin conjugate that's recognizable by transporters that do phase three. So it goes from one to two, you got the conjugate. Three, transporters at the cell membrane kick it out of the cell. So that's releasing it from the cell, going into the extracellular matrix, into the lymph, and then getting into the blood. So that's mobilization out of the tissues. Now it's rolling through the blood. Now, if you don't get to your exit doors, now you might just redeposit it somewhere else. Mm. But if we have everything open, gets into the blood, the liver is hungry for these things, it's pulling them in, it recognizes them, pulls them into the hepatocyte, the liver cell, and then it dumps them into the canalicular membrane. That's the bile canaliculus, the little rootlets of the bile tree. I like to look at the bile tree as like upside down. It's like a root system going up into the liver, feeding every or draining every cell in the liver, coming down to the main bile duct and the gallbladder. And it's the bile transporters that are taking the toxins out of the liver. So they're flowing out with the bile into the GI, where they dump into the GI, and then you have to prevent them from being reabsorbed. And that's what the binders are for. Mm-hmm. And so what people often miss is this bile flow component. And a lot of things that we do in our life slow down our bile flow, slow down our digestion, because bile is, you know, we think of it as this digestive fluid that's there to emulsify fats and feed, you know, some of the GI processes. But it's also this, you know, green river out for all these toxins. So we have to coordinate the release of the toxins from the cells into the blood with the liver's processing them and moving them into the bile. So you're always going to have something like bitters. The two things that drive bile flow are bitters and phosphatidylcholine. So you're going to always have that along with things that upregulate this release from the tissues. That's NRF2 upregulation. So things like lipoic acid. So the lipoic acid will throw it into the blood, then the bitters are moving it through the liver into the GI. And then half hour later, you come in with your binders and pick all them up. Or they're moving through the blood and they're going to go through the kidneys. So you got to make sure that the kidneys are flowing. So drainage from the liver are cholagogues and bitters, these things that move bile. Drainage from the kidneys is diuresis. So these things that promote urinary flow. So you have those all turned up and flowing, bile's flowing, urine's flowing. Then you release the toxins into the system. Everything goes through. You throw your binders in and it all works really well. And the thing is, when the key to how all this works, and we get to liposomes and liposomal quality in the next section, when you do liposomes and nanoemulsions correctly, everything, all these compounds you take all dump into your blood within about 20, 25 minutes. So usually when your capsules, some of it absorbs now, some's later, some's peaking in 5 hours, some peaking in 8 hours, and you want it all to do the same thing, but it's all happening over the course of the day. So it's this big muddy mess. Mm-hmm. When it all dumps at once, we call this biosynchronous activation. You synchronize the activities of your bitter herbs, your quercetin, your luteolin, your silymarin, your lipoic acid, your glutathione, your phosphatidylcholine. All of that is hitting at the same time, hitting the same triggers, moving all these toxins out, and you come in with a binder because you know when they're going to get down to the liver, and that ties this cycle of detox into a neat little bow. So it's not just smearing out through the day. You're like, when do I take my binder? You know, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, when I feel like crap or when I feel like double crap. Mm-hmm. And this system, it just gets so tightly moved, and you do it once a day, twice a day, you do it three times a day. You can do low doses, single doses, double doses. I have people doing triple doses three times a day to really move the needle. And it's all safe and effective because it's all so well coordinated in its action.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. When you mentioned the kidneys, I'm guessing you're talking more than water here. I mean, water is the obvious kidney flush, but you've got other, you have a kidney sauce.
You have the kidney cares. So we got liver sauce and kidney care. I wanted to call it liver sauce and kidney sauce, but you know, we went to kidney care. and, you know, so they're various diuretics that are going to get more water flow through the kidney. Because what happens is the glomerulus in the kidney filters all this water and amino acid, all kinds of stuff into it. And then you go through the proximal tubules, and a lot of it you reabsorb. You know, it's kind of like the binders, you know, to prevent reabsorption. Now, we don't have a real binder for that, but if we turn up the flushing through there, you'll move a lot more through before you reabsorb it. And there's some active transport of toxins into the proximal tubules. So for the, you know, so we got liver movement with the cholagogues and the binders, or the cholagogues and the bitters up in the bile. And then we have urinary movement through the kidneys. And so you've got some diuretic Chinese herbs and Western herbs doing that. And then, you know, one of the real nice things in kidney care is you got astragalocyte 4 and ferulic acid, which are regenerants for damage to the kidneys because they're clotho upregulators. And clotho is one of these things that comes in and out of the biohacking and longevity world. It's going to be one of the most important things that we have, and it just hasn't been really tamed. There's a company that, you know, is working on making pure clotho. But clotho is this molecule that you make only in the kidneys and the brain that are regenerative to it. And so, you know, kidneys really take a beating. The liver, you know, I call it the starfish organ. You can cut 60% off and it'll regrow. The kidneys, you insult them once. And, you know, even verbally, I mean, I cursed at my kidneys once. It took me a week to get over it. They're very sensitive.
There's the sensitive Sallies of the body. And sometimes you lose one and somebody's silly, you know, somebody gives you one and they compromise themselves. Like, I mean, technically we can work with one, but really.
Yeah, you start at 75% function there if you had 100 before, and then it starts, you know, going down from there.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but we digress.
We digress.
So we want to take care. We want to move. So we want to take care of all these pathways. So it's the liver, which, you know, I think anybody listening to this understands that. What's your position? And I didn't look at the liver sauce closely. I don't know if it's already in there. What's your position on things like TUDCA and ox bile? Are they components of liver sauce, or are they kind of separate?
No, except, see, you can do, so TUDCA, so those are both bile salts, and, you know, they're like bitter bile salts, and they turn up bile flow, especially TUDCA. That's taurursodeoxycholic acid.
Nicely done. I gave up on that one a while ago.
Yeah. TUDCA. You know, some people, they use that as their bitter, you know, bile flow modulator. But the bitter compounds that we have, basically we have our whole Bitter-X formula in liver sauce, and that's what's driving the bioflow there. You know, I looked at putting a little TUDCA into it. It was pretty radically bitter, so it's kind of better taken off.
Very bitter. Yeah, no, exactly, because your stuff is oral. The TUDCA
It's oral, and so you have to be able to deal with the violence of the bitter in that one.
Yeah, TUDCA is intense.
Yeah, and so what's in ours, so Bitter-X is a formula. It's one of our bitters. We have bitter number 9 and Bitter-X. Bitter-X is the stronger one. And the main bitter driving molecules in there, or whole plant extracts, are gentian and myrrh. So there's gentian, myrrh, solidago, and dandelion root. Mm-hmm. And it's the gentian and the myrrh that are the bitter ones that really drive the bioflow. Myrrh is really interesting. Gentian's been used in bitter formulas in the West forever, and in Chinese formulas, and in Ayurveda. Gentian's used everywhere. But myrrh came out of Ayurvedic medicine, and it was put in all of the gynecological formulas because it moves stagnant blood out of the uterus, but it also moves stagnant bile out of the liver. It's really good for that. And I had made bitters number 9, like me and another guy made it. It was like the perfect guy's thing. It was just bitter enough, had a wonderful flavor, had stomach warming herbs. And then I hired a bunch of 20-somethings with real dysregulated periods. And I needed, like, their livers are all jacked up, and I had to move that. And it was like I couldn't move the needle until I jumped into putting these stronger ones, the Bitter-X, in there, and, you know, the myrrh and the stronger amount of gentian is what really drove that. That's what's in the that's what's in the liver sauce. And there's tons of data on those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting that it would, it's the liver is the forgotten piece, I think, also with women's cycles that are dysregulated, right? We forget about, like, the liver's in charge, really.
It's totally in charge. And you look at the two-way street here. So the liver, so I said there's a lot of things that block bile flow for us. But estrogen excess blocks bile flow for us. Stress blocks bile flow. And how do those two go together? Well, you know, when you're estrogen excess, you tend to have glutamate excess or glutamate signaling excess, which puts you into more of a fight or flight thing. And whenever you go into the fight or flight autonomic side, that locks down bile flow because the opposite is rest, digest, repair, regenerate, detoxify. That's the parasympathetic side. And that's more run by progesterone. And so there is this whole way that the liver is helping. It was at the center of all this regulation and all this movement between the autonomics, the hormones, and the bile flow.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So, you know,
also, just to finish up on that, women lose their gallbladder way more often than men.
Oh my God, right after pregnancy.
Yeah.
Here, we'll take the child and we'll take the gallbladder.
Oh, yeah, it's so stupid. You got me, you know, there was a guy who worked for me, and his wife was the last of five sisters that still had her gallbladder in, and she was having all, you know, her enzymes were up and she was having all the problems. I put her on bitters and PC 8 or 9 years ago, you know, still has her gallbladder. You know, yeah. It's so easy to clear that stuff up.
Well, and one of the things also with the gallbladder, you know, paradoxically, is all those low fat diets of yesteryear. Yeah. I think contributed to
yes.
It's a bit of a paradox.
Yeah, it is a paradox because you think you're cleaning yourself up, but you slow down your bile flow so much that you stop detoxing, and you get sludgy bile and all this.
And then stones.
But, you know, you mentioned herxing. All right. So what is herxing? So, all right, you've taken a bunch of things. Say you take a bunch of NRF2 upregulated, like lipoic acid or sulforaphane, then your cells are going to dump a lot of stuff into circulation, but you haven't gotten the liver open and moving. Those toxins are going to start accumulating in the liver, but if the bile flow can't keep up with it, then you have all these toxins accumulating in the liver and your bile salts accumulating in the liver. And a lot of the toxins will actually kind of shock the bile flow and downregulate the bile flow. And then you got this shit show going on in your liver and it's freaking out. And there's all this oxidative stress and bile stress because bile is a detergent starting to dissolve the liver. And what do? You open up a door back into the blood and you dump everything back into the blood. And then all these toxins and inflammagens and oxidative stress and bile salts, they'll go to the kidneys and you get that lower back pain. And this is you starting to herx. And then the toxins are coming out through the skin. You get real itchy. I always look for that. Whenever I start doing this, I just hit bitters and it goes away. Because bile salts, they get squeezed back into circulation. They lodge underneath the skin and they itch, you know, long before you turn jaundiced, you know, from serious liver dysfunction, you have that itchiness. So you've got lower back pain, you've got itching. Then when the toxins come through and have an immunological or immunogenic response, then you're going to get the rashes. And of course, all these inflammagens are going to your brain. And especially if you have endotoxemia, leaky gut, getting these inflammatory lipids into your circulation. And then you got all this brain fog. And so you got headaches and you got brain fog and you got cognitive stuff and you got anxiety at the same time. And you just feel like shit. That's a Herxheimer reaction. Often that's just because you're not dumping this stuff out. Things that upregulate, you know, cellular detox without coupling it to the drainage is where you run into the issues. And we found that once we coupled the movement of the toxins from the cell to the blood with the movement through the liver and draining it out, turning up kidneys and getting that binder in right afterward. We learned this all in the autism world. We were going to Autism One all the time. These are the hardest kids to detox because everything winds them up. They herx to everything. But once we got that smooth path, plus we laid some CBD on top of that to down-regulate the neurological excitation and the immunological excitation, then we got that smooth path, and then everything worked fine. So A lot of hertzing is just you haven't set your pathways up right.
Yeah.
A little bit of like, ooh, all right, this is a little gnarly in the first couple of days is not too bad as long as it turns down. But if it's really rough, just pull the dosage back. Take a couple of days off, pull the dose back in half, roll like that, and you give it a week, 2 weeks, and then come back up to a higher dose. And bringing it back to the gallbladder, the people who've lost their gallbladder tend to have to pull back on the dose more.
Yeah.
Because the reason they lost their gallbladder is they had slow bile flow anyways. So you got to move the match the dumping of the toxins into the blood to the movement of the bile. And those who move bile slow have to move the toxins out of the blood kind of slow.
Right.
But it's not all that complex. You know, it's like if you know you had your gallbladder gone, you got to proceed with caution, maybe start half doses, move a little bit slower. If you haven't, just jump into it, see how you feel. Because, you know, we'll talk, there's that push catch is the sort of basis, the liver sauce and the binder. And you'll find a simple push catch, but what you should really go up to something like the advanced push catch, which brings with it the liver. It puts on top of the push catch, the kidney care, membrane mend, and glutathione. So sort of create a whole picture there. And we've had, Detox Challenge where 30 people just come and do it and they're online, they're all doing it together and nobody's like running for the hills or having to, you know, change the dosing. But just about everybody did great just as is.
Yeah. I mean, look, it happens. There are many canaries in our world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, be cognizant of that. I mean, you don't need to run for the hills, but you may be aware that you need to slow it down a little bit. So there's a couple of questions I want to go to when you decide which direction we go to first. Yeah. There are other things that people can add on, which I think are included in the advanced detox push-catch. Yeah. But other elements that people can add on, depending on what it is that they know or suspect that they're dealing with. So, yeah. And so maybe do you want to maybe do a very quick kind of little rundown of those? Because there's some dealing with mold versus...
Take like advanced push catch, you know, we have a bigger one called Cube 2.0, but that you have to get through a doctor. But advanced push catch, you can come in and get it. And that is a great basis for any detox. Now, say you are dealing with some latent viral infections where your immune system just isn't really good at recognizing and suppressing Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus. Cat's Claw Elite is good for assisting the immune system so that it can go and just press this stuff down and stop being all inflamed and dysregulated by these viruses. GI dysbiosis, the artemisinin emulsion is real good there. Any of these things you're going to take along with your liposomes in the push part. So push is take all your liposomes. So liver sauce, kidney care, glutathione, membrane man, cat's claw, and then half hour later is catch with binders. So when you're trying to, you know, get excess living junk out of you, cat's claw and artemisinin. When, say you got mold kind of wants, it's the same system, but it wants more binders. And so throughout the day, say you're doing two cycles of push catch a day, also get the binder capsules. So ultra binder capsules.
I love
and
that.
Take some of those middle of the day and maybe a couple before you go to bed. So you're getting binders in four times a day. And that really, because it's slow, the mold toxins are slow to come out through the bile and they're fast to be reabsorbed. So they like a little bit more binder. If the mitochondria are weak and the energy is low in the system, NAD platinum, and maybe even starting that, a week or two before you get into the detox to help the mitochondria up and making a difference. Some people use the one which has some CoQ10 with PQQ. I'm a big fan of PQQ and it's some adaptogens. Then, like if you're a woman and you're a little this gets into a whole thing on hormones, but for a woman, progesterone. Now you're getting into perimenopause and you haven't started any hormones. That means you'll be in a relative estrogen excess over progesterone deficit that happens through the 40s. But anytime, or if you just have a lot of anxiety and sleep issues, irritability, that's all progesterone deficit. So the progesterone is really going to help open up your liver and get that all flowing. In fact, it's a topical. You can even rub it on over your liver and help that there. I think I got most of the main add-ons there.
Yeah. The only other thing is that came up for me is when you talk about with the mold where you want to take more binder, like you want to add another couple of sets of binders, just again, for people, how far apart from your other supplements? Because the binder is pretty effective.
Yeah, binders are pretty effective. So you got to find a hole in the day for all these things.
Yeah.
When binders go in on an empty stomach, they clear through the stomach really fast, you know, half hour, 40 minutes.
Okay, cool. So then you take them first and then half an hour, 45 minutes later, you'll take your salts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's, I mean, it's just one of those things people scratch their heads about because it gets confusing, right? You almost, literally, guys, like I've done this and you virtually have to time it, give yourself timers on the phone so that you get reminders. Otherwise, you get to 5 o'clock and you're like, oh, I forgot my...
I didn't do this. And the other thing, you know, when you're taking extra binders is to have bitters on hand. So get a bottle of Bitter X or Bitters number 9 and have that on hand. The molds really grab the bile flow and are holding it. One thing that I'll find if I need my bile more released is when I take... one, I said, you know, whenever I'm itching, I need that. I kind of can sense when I need that. But if I take binders and I get nauseous, that's a pull from the binders on the bile flow and it's not getting the release. And you, a couple of hits of the bitters and it's just like minutes later. It's like, oof, it just lets go.
Oh, interesting.
Well, yeah. A lot of nausea is just bile not able to move right and bitters will just deal with it.
Okay. No, that's really interesting. And moving that bile is just, it's so important. Like it's just, if you can't move bile, it will eventually solidify. I mean, I have a gallstone. I just did a podcast on it, a solo episode recently. And the gift of the universe to me was sending me to a surgeon who said, we're not taking your gallbladder. Like many, many people take their gallstones to the grave. I've been working on it ever since.
Yeah. I mean, a whole push catch. So a bunch of things here. First, the push catch study with fatty liver and gallstones. Cheng Ruan down at Texas Lifestyle Medicine Institute did 103 people, ultrasound and blood labs for NAFLD, and put them on push catch for 1 to 2 months. 82% had significant decrease in fat and liver parenchyma by the ultrasound. 75% of the sludgy gallbladder, which is like 90% of them had sludgy gallbladder, 75% of those significantly cleared. And then 12 had gallstones, 3 totally cleared in a month. Another one had a 1.7 centimeter gallstone, went down to 1.1 centimeters in 32 days. Wow. So this stuff really moves all that out. The more you move the bile, the more you dissolve the damn things. And then you go like, bitters are really a lifestyle thing. Everybody at Quiksilver, like the women all carry bitters in their purse. You know, I got it in my pocket. It's like when we're at the conferences, there's always bitters on the table. It's going in cocktails. It's going in sparkling water. It's going right in the mouth. It's the thing that really keeps everything moving. And bioflow is so important that the genesis for Angostura bitters. So Angostura bitters, the most famous cocktail bitters, your old fashions, your Manhattans, 90% of the bottles up there at a bar are Angostura with the little, you know, with a little yellow cap. And who made that? The Surgeon General of the Army back in the early 1900s was running a regiment in the Caribbean and needed to have one thing he gave to every soldier every day to create as many healthy soldiers and nobody getting sick as possible. And it was Angostura bitters. You know, you have one thing, make sure their bile flows, they're digesting, their GI health is good, their liver health is good, and they're detoxifying. And that was Angostura.
Yeah, there you go. Bitters all the way.
Bitters all the way. But now they're just, you know, they're flavorings and stuff that are put in there. They used to be whole herbs. And now, you know, we do whole herb medicinal grade bitters.
Hey guys, if you've been following me for a while, you've probably heard me talk about Level Up Health. one of my absolute favorite supplement brands. Kyle van der Leest, founder and formulator, spares no expense when designing stacks to be the most efficacious. Doesn't matter what it takes. Level Up Health's product range is truly unique. Their ultimate GI repair combines the best naturopathic botanicals and nutritionals with powerful, orally bioavailable peptides used in functional and integrative medicine to deliver a stack that actually works to restore gut health. He's got other formulas that I use as well, that including liver detoxification, formulas for inflammation reduction, metabolic function, even body composition. The feedback from community members has been incredible. And many of these formulations were created not only to address specific health goals, but also to reduce the like 6 to 12 products you might need to take so that you can simplify it down to an all-in-one product. So Kyle is constantly innovating and expanding his product range. And recent additions include an oral GHK CU stack, as well as a tributarin stack for optimal gut health. Now, to learn more, you're going to want to check out their website, which is leveluphealth.com. Level has no easy in the end in it. So LVLUphealth.com, and check out that full range of unique products they have to offer. Make sure you use code NAT10 to get 10% off your order. And now let's get back to the episode.
I mean, look, if you look at the European, even the European diet or culture,
yeah,
you start with bitters, right? You start with your arugula, like in Italy, you'll start with your arugula salad with a little bit of pepper and olive oil. And,
yeah, and they do dandelion salads and stuff. And then they have all these cordials that are bitters. They have aperitifs. There's one called Sue's that's made out of a gentian. And a lot of, most of the after dinner bitters, all the Amaros from Italy. It's just always been that culture there. And then you got the Swedish bitters, the German bitters. You know, it's they've got that as a long-standing tradition.
Yeah, and the North Americans are like, yeah, it's too bitter. I'll just have something sweet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Nadine used to go on about the, you know, we've lost the bitter flavor out of our diet and replaced it with sweet, and that don't help.
No, it's not helping at all. Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about how often. How much? How do people know when do you know when to stop? Like, do you just do, like, I mean, I think, you know, as a foundation for longevity, if you don't think you have any issues, if you did 2 30-day days, if you do a 30-day push catch,
yeah,
twice a year or three times a year, you'd be in pretty good shape. I mean, there's that.
Yeah, you definitely. I would say you have a formal detox and then lifestyle.
Touch up. Yeah.
And so formal detox is going to be 1, 2, 3 months. People are really toxic. They're going to have to do their formal detox, and they'll have to have, you know, some core players on for a couple more months. But, you know, how often? So I like to do a 1, 2, even 3 month program, and then incorporate it into your life. Now, for some people, they like to, like, oh, I like to get my box twice a year and do my 30-day detox or my 14-day detox. I like to incorporate it in and just have the whole push catch stuff at home. And on the weekends, or, you know, I get back from, you know, weekends, I tend to be traveling and lecturing and eating bad food and drinking and in planes and stuff. So, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every morning is push sauna catch. And that's how I incorporate it in. And then binders, you know, they could come at any time, at different times before bed. I'll take some. Bitters are always incorporated, some phosphatidylcholine. And, you know, then there's like the AMPK charge, which is autophagy upregulator, you know, AMPK activator, puts you into ketosis, but it's also detoxifying you. So that is a cardiometabolic with detox on top of it. The more you see how everything flows into one another, the less you're getting hung up on, you know, I'm detoxing now or I'm not detoxing now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're supporting the detox pathways in perpetuity to hopefully avoid needing the 3 to 6 month or whatever it is. So the AMPK, you would do that. I mean, to me, that feels like a first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
On an empty
AMPK charge. Right. Drink your coffee, maybe a little butter in the coffee, and you'll be making ketones in 30 to 60 minutes. I mean, it's just wonderful. And you've got liver sauce and AMPK charge, and there's like 3 ingredients that are the same or 4 ingredients that are the same between the two. So there's overlap. It's because NRF2 is this major switch in the cells that turns up throwing the trash out, turns up detox. AMPK is a switch in the cells that turns up autophagy, which is breaking down old mitochondria, breaking down old piles of misfolded proteins, breaking down whole cells. And Perfect. So that's this biological detox, you know. And so one's moving toxins out, coupling it to the bioflow. The other one is breaking up parts of cells and then coupling it to the bioflow and recycling parts of cells. So there's a similarity in the two. And AMPK charge is also upregulating lipophagy, lipid, which is breaking down the fats and releasing fat-soluble toxins. So when you start into this, like when people start into keto and they get keto flu, 90% of that is fat-soluble toxins. You take some binders with it, and it just goes right away. So you can do a push-catch with AMPK charge and binder. You can do a push-catch that's liver sauce and AMPK charge and binder. There's a lot of ways to thread these together. Or you do this formal detox with, you know, which is based on liver sauce and binder, and then you transition to doing AMPK charge. That's, you know, AMPK charge, bitters, and binder are my long-term detox partners.
Like you're kind of like your day-to-day.
It's my day-to-day. And probably 5 days a week I do that.
Sorry?
Probably 5 days a week I do AMPK charge.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's a nice little template right there, right? So you do your big pushes, and then now you did a really, you know, talking about detoxification for longevity.
Yeah.
You did, the last time we spoke in the last episode, we went through that 3 month BioAge reset.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I know that some people might have sat there going, well, why the heck would you start with like a detox? Right. And I just wanted to go back to it because taking out the trash, then rebuilding the cell membrane, and then the third phase, which is like the kind of restabilizing, getting everything tuned in. But I wanted to talk a little bit because I don't think you had the results of your study at the time. Yeah. And I, you know, everybody's running around going, I need to reduce my biological age. And you guys did it with like this crazy 3 month program.
Yeah. And just to review, the first month was essentially a push catch with glutathione and some cat's claw. The second month, it was still a push catch with glutathione, but the first one, it was liver sauce and binder. The second one, it was AMPK charge and binder. And then we brought in NAP, membrane mend. And then the last month kept the AMPK charge. We just stopped the binder and glutathione, AMPK charge, the membrane mend, ultravitamin. And it was just, and the NAD. So it was a mix of moving trash out and getting mitochondrial biogenesis going. And mm-hmm. You know, continue to move things out, continue to stimulate senolytic activity. So the autophagic breakdown of senolytic cells. So a lot of these compounds like quercetin and luteolin are helping on a detox side with NRF2. They're AMPK activators and they're senolytic. So we have them doing a lot of things all at once. So 3 month program. And did we reverse biological age? Yeah, even by the Horvath clock, which is a hard one to move in 3 months.
Well, on the word on the street before this was it takes at least a year to move. That's your DNA methylation age to move Horvath clock. You guys moved it in 3 months. That's mind blowing.
A year off in 3 months. And the Dunedin pace algorithm, that would just turn way down. You know, that's the speed of aging. That one moved quick. But yeah, that was really shocking, I think, to Ryan that we were able to move the Horvath clock in 3 months. And, you know, at the top end of it, you know, there was a guy who lost 7 biological years in 1 year. And then a guy did it here, an older Indian doctor in his maybe early 80s, late 70s. And in that 3 months, he lost 8 biological years.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
And you might argue that maybe his body was primed or that he just really needed it, you know,
like I would go that way, that he hadn't done any of this stuff.
Yeah. And his body. I want to talk about NAD a little bit because it is so controversial. right? You've got, like, I mean, you've got half the people are going, all these NAD precursor supplements, well, they don't get into this. They don't do anything, right? And then you've got the other half of the universe going, well, actually, it's a pretty good way to give energy to the cell to do what it needs to do. And so I'm always curious about, you know, people, not people who are purely selling NAD. I'm curious about people like you who will integrate NAD support in your programs. And surely there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much data showing, the difficult part just to start with is there's no good measurement of NAD in the blood. And so it's hard to say, oh, I took this and that happened. You know, there were some people trying to, that guy at Genfinity was trying to do it, but his data was all over the place. And so it's hard to get that simple answer done right there. But the animal studies and the human studies looking at like fatty liver and metabolic disease definitely showed a change. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, and then you have the difference in the liposomal delivery. And pretty much anybody who takes NAD platinum will feel, you know, a couple of days their metabolism really speed up. And while they're on it, it goes real strong. And when they go off, it takes 7 to 10 days for it to come down. So, you know, a week to 10 to come up, week to 10 to go down. That's the life cycle of the mitochondria. So I do believe it's doing what it's supposed to do, which is stimulate the sirtuins, build NAD to stimulate the sirtuins to turn up mitochondrial biogenesis nuclear mitochondrial coupling. These are the ways you make the mitochondria more effective. Just all the ways to tie the whole system together so it's an efficient energy machine. And, you know, the real controversy is between taking NAD directly in some sort of injection or taking the precursors, usually as an oral thing. And NAD directly, I mean, let's go put it in an IV port and start infusing that NAD in. Let's get a pretty good clip. We're going to move it in there pretty fast. And you're then going to shit, piss, and puke yourself in your chair and be absolutely fucking miserable.
I don't. You've got to pace yourself.
You slow it way down. But if
I push 750 milligrams in an hour and a half. I mean, you got to be willing to sit there. But I will say,
if I did all that 750 in 15 minutes,
I know a guy who did that. It was a highly unpleasant experience. But I would say that, you know, the NAD IVs have their place, but it's not going to be your constant. Like and you run the risk of overwhelming your system, quite frankly. I mean, there's...
What I'm getting at is we're not really even sure what's happening there because NAD doesn't traffic through meaning cell to cell. We throw NAD in. Hey, I heard you need some NAD in the shoulder. And my toe throws it into the blood and it goes up to the shoulder. Hey, man, yay team. You don't do that with NAD. You do that with NMN. And you do that with nicotinamide riboside. Mm-hmm. Those two things that traffic and have transporters for moving it around. NAD doesn't. And just like ATP, when it's in the blood, it's actually part of a cell danger response. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, a whole bunch of cells just spilled their guts and, you know, something bad's going on. And that's why you have that reaction. Now, is it a net good that the whole NAD metabolome is built up and this hormetic stressor that is a whole bunch of NAD in the blood, is it turning up your body's metabolome to go, oh, all right, let's deal with all this? Because there are some things you mobilize like NAMPT. There's an extracellular NAMPT. Maybe that gets thrown out there to start metabolizing this NAD, turn it into a precursor, bring it back into the cell. We don't really know. But we do know the whole precursor game. Precursor game is pretty straightforward. Cool. So it's got its place. You can do both, but it's always the day-to-day.
Well, and that's what I mean. Like the day-to-day is what's going to make it's, you know, it's a little bit like your short game in golf. You're not going to win a golf game on the long game. That drive, yeah, that's really sweet. But if you've got a 10-putt, finish the game, you're done.
Yeah, I remember my old grandfather just beating the pants off of me with these like little short topping shots and then just, you know, a putt.
Yeah.
And I like whack it a country mile off on the side and then, you know, my approach is all over and then 10 putt it. And it was like, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty humiliating, I would say. All right. Let's talk about, I mean, you actually segued nicely sort of into the whole liposomal discussion, which I really wanted to have as well. Because liposome is not a liposome. Like there are, and I would love, I mean, look, we know that Quiksilver's got their liposomes dialed in like nobody's business. I'd love to give people some tools to understand what questions to ask for, what to look for. When somebody says their supplement is a liposomal supplement, there's different little strategies that people use, and it's kind of, there's, I've even heard things like there's a liposome and then there's the supplement beside it. Like it just, you know, it's, you got to get the thing in the liposome for it to actually get delivered. So
it's got to actually be a liposome. So what is a liposome? How do you make it? And what kind of garbage is made pretending it's a liposome? So a liposome, it looks like a cell. It's a phospholipid bilayer membrane. If you remember what this cell membrane looks like, you've got these phospholipids, this water-soluble head and these fatty tails coming down. And there'll be one side like that on the outside of the cell and another one meeting it on the inside, and that's your membrane. And so you have this bilayer membrane, this sphere around the cytoplasm. So in this case, we have a sphere around a droplet of water that has our water-soluble compounds in it. So if we're doing glutathione or vitamin C or B complex or the NAD precursors, those are all water soluble. We dissolve them in the water and then we form these spheres in the water and they entrap a bunch of that supplement in there. Now, when these are made small and with very good membranes, they will absorb right through the oral cavity into the capillaries. When you swallow them, they're going through the stomach into the capillaries in the upper GI. They should absorb really fast. And really fast to us is we can measure it in 2 minutes in the blood. So it's clearly not going through the GI. It hasn't even seen it yet. And so, you know, eventually the rest of it goes through the GI. But that's the kind of liposome that you want. And these, they're clear, they're transparent because the little spheres of phosphatidylcholine in there are smaller than wavelengths of light. And so below 100 nanometers for the liposome spheres, they're transparent. The other ones that you'll see out there look like milk or these thick gel-like ones. Those are anywhere from 300 nanometers up to thousands of nanometers. And they just don't absorb at that rate. And they're relying on upper GI absorption, if they're even real liposomes. And upper GI is rough because the bile and the acid, the stomach, the bile then, and the microbiome is all beating it up before you absorb it. So these super small ones absorb before they can be broken down in the, you know, or beat up in the system, whereas these large ones get all beat up. And because their speed of absorption across the membranes is really, really slow. And if it's even a liposome. So how do you make a liposome? Well, you've got to get phospholipids that are extracted from or purified from lecithins. So raw, like baker's lecithin that you use for holding chocolate together or ice cream or bread. When that comes out of the system, it's about 15% phosphatidylcholine. You can get up to 30%. Then you need fancy places to purify up to 50, 70, 90% phosphatidylcholine. It's only really that 70 above that makes phospholipids. These lower grade ones are just emulsifying the oils and junk that's in them. They all look like these white goopy liquids, and you just really can't tell. A bunch of them I tried to do electron microscopy on, I couldn't even get images of them. Whereas ours, you could see these beautiful little spheres in there, and I have tons of electron micrographs if people want to see them. And we also use laser sizers to look at the size population of all the particles when we make them. So when, you know, some people, they're like, well, all right, we're going to get this fancy blender, throw some lecithin in there, throw the supplement in there, just let it all blend up, and you got this goopy, thick, creamy liquid, and we're going to call it a liposome. We've never characterized it. We haven't even done laser sizing on it, let alone electron microscopy. We don't know what's in there. And they're just selling you on this idea of liposomal delivery. And there's a lot of them with very sexy marketing these days that are just doing that. And now when I go to Supply Side West, I'll see all these ingredient companies. I can sell you this pure powder here, or I can sell you a liposome of it. And it's like, and there's no, you know, how do you make your liposome? Is this a good liposome? You know, it's just like, no, it's liposome. Well, that's fine. Here's your value add. And so there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, maybe there's a little bit of increased bioavailability, but it's mostly kind of crappy. In fact, I did a CACO2 uptake with five different liposomal glutathione besides ours, and none of them are any better than just regular glutathione. So they really have to be done well. We do it in a pharmaceutical style. And, you know, we're the only company using laser sizing to determine the particle size population, like how many are in which size range, and then making that a specification for manufacturers so that as these liposomes are running off the line in the first couple of liters, we're measuring them and making sure they're right in the size that we need them to be, because the size dictates the absorption, which dictates what your blood levels are going to be. Yeah. Now, I can't give you a bottle this batch, you get a blood level like that. And then the next batch, it's like that. Like, how as practitioners are you just taking care of your health? Can you know what you're doing if you don't trust that all the time they're going to act the same? And so we have that dialed in and such tight controls all around that. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not what's going on in the rest of the industry.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough thing, right? And it's funny because we don't want more regulation because that just comes with more restrictions and misery.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have the right regulations in place.
Yeah. I was thinking of making like a trade organization, like a liposome, quality association. And, you know, this is what we believe. You should see these things.
Yeah, like self-regulation is a better idea. Because you can go to the drugstore and get liposomal vitamin C, supposedly in a capsule. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, now they're doing something because it's not going to send you running to the bathroom as fast as the, you know, straight vitamin C capsules kind of thing. So but at the very least, I guess they must be combining it with some kind of fat to slow it down.
Yeah.
But that, you know, to then say that you've got these nanoliposomes that are actually delivering into the cell the way that you should be getting from a liposome. It should, I guess there should be another term that's not liposome.
Yeah, we could do it by size or, you know, just emulsion, you know, if you don't know that you have a liposome. Because, the emulsions will open up. You know, just having the phospholipids and stuff in there will open up some of the absorption and help draw some of these things into circulation, but they won't do it the way like a real good one does, because there's getting from the outside of your body into the blood, and then there's getting from the blood to the cells. Mm-hmm. And liposomes, the good, real small ones, have been proven to fuse with cell membranes and facilitate absorption into the cell. Whereas these cruder emulsions will help get into the blood, but there's no intact liposome then going through the blood to help cellular absorption.
Right. Okay, cool. All right. A couple more questions and then I'm going to let you go. Take care of your hamstring. To slide that in. A couple more questions. One is going back to detoxification. I was always taught that, you know, when we think about who shouldn't do a detox, and at the top of the list typically is pregnant women. And I just wanted to touch on that because I think that if you're going to detoxify, you want to do it before you get pregnant, maybe to prepare the body. But while you're growing a new life in you, you don't want a bunch of stuff flying around.
And that's a tricky one. And I've helped people manage detoxes while they're pregnant, because it's like they didn't know they were going to get pregnant. And, you know, I had one, you know, we just had done her mercury testing. And it was like high. Yeah. And like 2 weeks later, and she was like, all right, I'm going to do the detox. And she's like, ah, shit, I'm pregnant. It was an accident. And it was like, well, how do you deal with this? And, you know, I just saw a friend of mine and her daughter. I hadn't seen her in ages, but I've seen her daughter's 14 now. And when she got pregnant with her, she was super toxic. So how are you going to handle that? Because you're not going to just let it all flow around there. It's going to end up in the baby. So remember, there's tissues, the blood, and then blood drains through liver and kidneys. So if you can turn up the drainage of the blood and the binding without turning up the movement out of the tissues into the blood, then you're helping. So it's a more passive one. So you don't want NRF2 upregulators, no lipoic acid, no sulforaphane. I'd even go light with DIM, quercetin, luteolin. You mostly want bitters and binder and some things to move the urine. So you could use like bitters and kidney care on light doses and binder, and that will get those levels draining down. But it's a trick, you know, I'm not going to, you know, recommend everybody go do this without a little bit of assistance. But, you know, with pregnancy, yeah, you don't want to release more things from the tissues, but you do like to gently pull the blood levels down.
Yeah, well, exactly. In the case of toxicity, for sure. And I think what you just said, working with a practitioner is just a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So normally you wouldn't do anything unless you get yourself into a but yeah, I mean, you might have bitters on board because of the cholestasis of pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, I would say bitters would be a good idea, period, for that exact reason, right?
Because the high estrogen is creating a lot of cholestasis. It's a ton of the plant.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Okay, was there anything else we were going to – I feel like we kind of covered it all pretty well. Well, I mean, there's always more we could cover. Let's be clear. So you know what, guys, so you have it here. Like, I mean, basically, hopefully this given you a reasonably good overview. There's a couple of basic detox packages available on the Quiksilver site. There's the advanced detox if you want to commit to it a little harder. And, you know, given the world that we live in right now, there's an argument for doing, you know, a 30-day detox at least 2 to 3 times a year.
Absolutely.
And then supporting it in between, like using the bitters and the liver sauce and the sauna and the rebounding and the binders.
And it's important that people recognize it's not just because toxins are bad. Toxins accelerate the rate of aging. In fact, they gave them a term now, gerontogens. They're generating your gerontogens. You know, your oldness. and just, you know, for the biohacker thing, you know, we like to talk about telomeres and senescent cells and stuff. The toxins go in that create toxicological damage in the cell, which creates telomere attrition, which then stimulates mitochondrial dysfunction, which turns the cell into a senescent cell. And the senescent cells release more pro-inflammatory cytokines that recruit other cells in the senescence. And you can take a cell out of senescence by restoring the harmony inside the cell, and NRF2 upregulation will do that. Or you can kill the cell, senolytic. And a lot of the compounds that we use will do both of those things. So quercetin, luteolin are senolytics. They're NRF2 upregulators. They're AMPK activators, so that's stimulating autophagy. So the whole, you know, the toxins drive you towards death, and the detox reverses those pathways. So it's not just we got to take the junk out. I mean, it's really working right on longevity pathways.
Boom. Enough said.
Enough said.
Live long, live well, and you're done. Dr. Shade, where do people find you and learn more about your products?
Yeah, Quiksilver Scientific on Instagram. I don't know if Facebook still exists. I think it does. Dr. Christopher Shade, that's more of my independent feed. Of course, QuiksilverScientific.com. We have a lot of education on there. And set up an account if you're going to buy, even if you buy through Amazon or something, set up an account because you can't, like, our CBD doesn't even show up until you log into your account. And that's because of Zuckerberg and Facebook, and they won't.
All the things.
All the things. So it's good to get in there and get our newsletters and see what's going on.
For sure. And we'll have a link and code for you guys in the show notes. I didn't gather it before we started recording, so it'll be in there, and you'll have heard about it in the intro as well. So, Chris, thank you so much. Always such a pleasure to chat.
Thank you so much, Natalie. It is a pleasure.
My brain's actually working reasonably
well. I know, you're so bright now.
I know, I'm just so bright and shiny. And also, people, just keep your eyes and your ears open, because in the next couple of months, there's some really, really exciting stuff coming down the pipes from Quiksilver. But just stuff that would be particularly interesting to me, moi, given my favorite topic. And that's
peptides?
All
I'm going to
say about it. What?
Peptides?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway. Okay. So super exciting. Thank you again, Chris. It's been a pleasure. Have an amazing day. And folks, thank you so much for coming in and listening to us chatter away. Hope you get to walk away with a few gems for your longevity journey.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I'd love to invite you to sign up for my newsletter. Each week, I share my biggest key takeaways from that week's podcast episode, giving you insight into how to take action on what you learned in the interview. Plus, I share the biohacks I'm loving that week and why, as well as facts and tips about peptides for longevity. To join the newsletter, head over to natalienidham.com/newsletter to get access now or find the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for your continued support and for tuning in to today's episode. I wish you all the best this week in biohacking your superhuman performance.